Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan, Sudan, and the rest of Africa this Thursday, November 7, 2024. Supporters of President-elect Donald Trump celebrate his victory in Juba.
This is a historical moment in the history of politics. Donald Trump, after being accused and encountered a lot of character assassination, coming back to White House again, is a sign of resilience and perseverance.
And U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris concedes defeat. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Supporters of President-elect Donald Trump in South Sudan are celebrating his election victory in the presidential election in the United States. Some in the capital, Juba, call on the government of South Sudan to learn from the U.S. democratic process. For VOA News, Dennis Logonyi reports from Juba.
Some residents of South Sudan's capital, Juba, welcomed the results of the U.S. election this week, which former President Donald Trump won, and they said the election should set an example for South Sudan. Several of his supporters say they think the coming Trump administration will end the conflicts around the world. Luca Jal, a resident of Tongping, says he is happy that his candidate won the U.S. election. He adds that South Sudanese leaders should learn from Trump's campaign messages about putting the interest of American people first.
This is a historical moment in the history of politics. Donald Trump, after being accused and encountered a lot of character assassination, coming back to White House again, is a sign of resilience and perseverance. So this is also inspiration for every young person who wants to pursue dream in politics. I believe Donald Trump coming back to White House is a gleam of hope to underdeveloped country in the third world country.
South Sudan was supposed to hold its first elections in 2015, but a cycle of conflict interrupted plans for elections. The transitional government of national unity promised to hold elections next month. That promise was broken, however, and elections delayed until 2026. The government has said it had not had enough time or funds to establish a new constitution and prepare for elections. Lul Hawk is another Trump supporter and says he expects a lot from the president-elect.
The Trump return is a message and a signal that the world is tired of the Democrat and the liberal. To want to put the world back to chaos, maybe a possible third world war. And the American, especially the world, want a strong leader who would actually look people in the eye and tell them this is nonsense. We do not want wars that is continuous. We want peace. You will achieve that in Ukraine. You will achieve that in the Middle East. So I'm very much happy as a South Sudanese. I like a guy who is strong.
Dudu Sebit Abdallah is the Secretary for Gender and Child Welfare in the South Sudan Civil Society Alliance. She says women in South Sudan should emulate the resilience of Kamala Harris, who lost the election to Trump.
She passed through challenges and she also did her part in the politics. This is in the politics we say that she just tests her capacity. But in politics, she made really history to the women of USA. For us, some of the women say that I want to contest on geographical constituency. I want to be in women list. I want to be in party list. This is not enough. For us as a women, we need to come up in the politics. Let us also contest in geographical constituencies, not only women list. Let us also attach ourselves with the politics.
A dual U.S. and South Sudanese citizen who only identified himself as Allison says South Sudan should learn from the U.S. election process.
In America, we believe in democracy. And when such thing happens, there is one thing, one person must win. And that person who is yesterday happened to be Trump, I would congratulate him. I say that congratulations, you win. Hard luck, Harris. Trump, as I believe in democracy, I would tell him, congratulations, you have a big task in front of you. You have a big challenges there. You need to deal with them right.
Trump is to be in a great as the 47th president of the United States on January 20th, 2025. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
Still on U.S. politics, former U.S. President Donald Trump will return to the White House, as is the will of the American people. The news has been received with a mix of cheers and tears in a country that is divided. VOA's Veronica Baldras Iglesias reports from Washington.
With millions of ballots cast across the country, America made its voice heard. Former President Donald Trump is set to serve a second term in the country's highest office. He His supporters in the Manhattan borough of New York City say they are elated. John Rivera is one of Trump's supporters.
I knew he was going to win. I knew he was going to win. And for the people, to help the people out that's struggling, like me, my family, we're struggling hard.
Edwin Quesada also voted for Donald Trump.
Trump is who this country needs right now. It was good while Trump was president, and hopefully he can fix things, the mess that the Democrats made.
Barbara Yan, however, says she's not thrilled with the election outcome.
In any other country in the world, you would never elect somebody who's going through the criminal process as our president. But here, it's possible. So we'll see. We'll weather through it.
The sense of disappointment was palpable Wednesday in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, where most of the votes were cast for Vice President Kamala Harris. Morgan Day worries about women's reproductive rights under a new Trump administration.
The Trump presidency in his last administration obviously stacked the courts in such a way that Roe v. Wade was overturned. We've already seen the devastating impacts that that has had on communities across our country. Women have died.
Transgender rights are on the mind of Davey, who didn't provide a last name.
I don't think the president's going to do anything to help queer trans people or women. I think he's going to make it worse.
Jake Osterman says he's just glad Americans showed up at the polls in big numbers.
I'd rather an election that is one based off of more people going to vote for what they believe in than one that's kind of just been thrown away because not as many people vote.
Maryland voter Franklin Tumasang hopes Americans will find a way to come together and trusts that former President Trump's skills as a businessman will greatly benefit the country.
He's going to make the economy, the inflation go down, because that's a very big problem we're facing right now. Gas prices are up, groceries are up.
Throughout the election, the economy remained a top priority for Americans. Now that Trump has won, the expectation for the former president to deliver on his promise to improve it are higher than ever. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
The United States is gearing up for a transfer of power, with President Joe Biden congratulating President-elect Donald Trump on his victory and Vice President Kamala Harris conceding defeat. White House Chief Bureau Chief Patsy Widakwaswara has this report from Howard University, where Harris spoke Wednesday.
The moment Vice President Kamala Harris conceded her defeat to President-elect Donald Trump came Wednesday afternoon at Howard University, her alma mater and election watch party venue. Unlike Trump, Harris had committed weeks ago to respect the election result. She said it's a fundamental principle of American democracy.
We owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
Earlier, Harris called to congratulate Trump and discuss the importance of a peaceful transfer of power and being a president for all Americans, her campaign said. The Trump campaign said the president-elect acknowledged Harris for her strength, professionalism, and tenacity throughout the campaign, and both leaders agreed on the importance of unifying the country. The White House said President Joe Biden called both candidates and will address the nation Thursday to discuss the election results and the transition. In her remarks, Harris sought to comfort her staff and supporters.
Only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars. The light, the light of optimism, of faith, of truth, and service.
Harris' speech marked an extraordinary moment reminiscent of 2016, when another female candidate, Hillary Clinton, conceded defeat to Trump. 2,000 Harris supporters had stayed past midnight on election night Tuesday. The mood grew more somber as more and more states were called for Trump. As they watched Harris deliver her concession speech Wednesday, many were emotional.
I woke up crying. I left the rally last night crying. Now I'm feeling hopeful and feeling restored. It's a long road ahead, but I feel like it's not the end of the road.
She gave us a little bit of hope to keep continuing to work, you know, on yourself, on your community, and to focus. And I'm, you know, I'm actually happy the fact that she ended on that note.
The people have spoken. We need to respect that. This is democracy, and we have to keep fighting.
Trump won 292 Electoral College votes to Harris 224. He declared victory in the early hours of Wednesday, thanking his supporters.
They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African American, Hispanic American, Asian American, Arab American, Muslim American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment.
Harris' concession speech marked the end of a whirlwind campaign that began when Biden withdrew from the race in June. From Howard University, Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
Republicans won control of the U.S. Senate early Wednesday, a major victory that will give President-elect Donald Trump a key tool for enacting his legislative agenda. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more from Washington.
For the first time in 4 years, Republicans have won a majority in the U.S. Senate. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This is certainly a happy day for the GOP.
Republicans secured their expected wins in the key swing state of Pennsylvania. U.S. Senator-elect David McCormick.
It looks like we're headed in a very good direction.
And in Texas, Democrat Colin Allred failed to beat Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
I will fight for you, for your jobs, for your safety, and for your constitutional rights.
All 435 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives were also up for re-election, with Republicans expected to hold on to their control of the lower chamber. In the Senate races, Democrats did secure wins in California. U.S. Senator-elect Adam Schiff.
I am committed to taking on the big fights to protect our freedoms and to protect our democracy.
Control of the Senate was decided by a few key races where the outcome was uncertain. Races such as in Ohio and in Montana, where Republican Tim Sheehy beat incumbent Democratic Senator John Tester. With control of the U.S. Senate, Trump will be able to confirm his nominees to the highest court in the land, the U.S. Supreme Court, and has a smoother path to passing his legislative agenda. George Washington University's Casey Bergat.
With a majority for Donald Trump, he can not only confirm his cabinet secretaries without having to get Democratic support, but also sub-cabinet secretaries. There's thousands of appointments to be made within the executive branch, and especially within the courts.
Republicans last controlled both chambers of Congress during the first 2 years of Trump's first term as president in 2017. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, will Trump administration treat Africa well? Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way. But hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. African leaders say they are looking forward to strengthening their partnership with the United States under President-elect Donald Trump. The Republican claimed a decisive election victory over Democratic candidate Kamala Harris on Tuesday to secure a second term in the White House. Some international affairs experts in Africa say his new administration may change how Washington engages with the continent. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
In Johannesburg, Wits University global affairs expert Dr. Telela Ngetane-Vika says Donald Trump's election victory heralds an uncertain time for Africa.
Donald Trump as a president of the United States comes with a lot of complexities, his own rhetoric, and that rhetoric sometimes doesn't land well, especially for us who are coming from the global south, his posture and how he sees us in a not favorable way. But there are also those who are coming from the global south who feel that the current global climate, especially of the wars in Ukraine and in Gaza, only a Trump presidency can bring an end to it. Now, that remains to be seen.
South African independent economist Ntombi Mbele Tomo reflects the view of many analysts when she says another Trump presidency leaves Africa very vulnerable.
I don't really see Trump being the first person to raise his hand to provide support for the African continent. And so I am very skeptical, to say the least. He wants to be more bilateral in his engagements, firstly, but also secondly, he has a very nationalistic agenda. I think that is a cause for concern. And I don't see him really being a president who's going to upkeep and upstand some of the trade agreements that were initially engaged in by the U.S.
Dr. Sitembile Mbete, political science lecturer at Pretoria University, says Trump showed during his first term he's not interested in Africa.
In terms of his Make America Great Again, Put America First foreign policy, he wasn't very keen on development assistance to Africa, on really balancing the trade relationship either between the US and Africa. But there was nothing really disruptive that particularly happened then. I think now there's going to be a much more difficult time for the continent under Trump presidency in terms of relations with China and him wanting the continent to really take a side. Pick a side, are you with us? Are you with them?
Over the past 20 years, the World Economic Forum reports China has become Africa's largest bilateral trading partner. It says around 20% of the continent's exports now go to China, and about 16% of Africa's imports come from China. Mbete says Africa cannot afford to minimize relations with China, which may cause tension with the Trump administration. International relations expert and former U.S. diplomat Brooks Spector says there's no guarantee the U.S. Congress under Trump will renew the African Growth and Opportunity Act. AGOA gives 35 African countries duty-free access to U.S. markets for almost 2,000 products. Spector says Trump could decide he's not willing to give benefits to countries that do a lot of business with America's rivals, especially China.
Losing AGOA access will translate in some manner to the loss of jobs and in some manner to the loss of growth or economic activity. Part of the problem is that Donald Trump sees foreign trade as a distinctly reciprocal transactional activity. In other words, there are no altruistic, there are no individual benefits that are given. Everything must be a trade. Everything must be reciprocal.
There's also concern in Africa about a new Trump administration's position on climate change. Scientists say global warming, caused mainly by carbon pollution in industrialized countries, is causing extreme weather like droughts and floods, with Africa hard hit. Africa wants developed nations like the US to fund efforts to reduce the impact of climate change. Mbete says Trump won't agree to this.
He's probably going to reverse a whole lot of what has been decided in the last 4 years around mitigation efforts, around helping African countries to adjust to climate change, but also to clean energy.
Trump has advocated more oil drilling in the United States and played down the consequences of climate change. During his campaign, he said he would again pull the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement, in which countries pledged to cut carbon emissions. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
From Johannesburg, we move to Mozambique, where police are cracking down on opposition supporters protesting in the capital, Maputo, today in the biggest demonstration yet against last month's disputed election. The vote extended the ruling party's Frelimo's 5 decades in power, but opposition parties, European Union observers and other groups have alleged there were significant problems. The election runner-up, Venancio Mondlane, has rallied his supporters to protest regularly since the October 9 vote. Human rights groups say at least 18 people have been killed in the police crackdown on protesters. A short time ago, reporter Charles Manguero from Maputo spoke with VOA's Kate Pound Dawson about what is happening today.
It's a very tense situation in Mozambique. The protests are all over the country, with a particular focus in the capital, Maputo, where hundreds of people descended to the streets today to protest at what they call the fraudulent elections, which gave victory to the ruling Frelimo Party candidate, Daniel Chapo. So the presidential run-up, Venancio Mondlane, rejected the results, saying that they were fraudulent. So he has been calling for nationwide protests. They have been going on for 7 days, but today, the 7th of November, is the day he calls the Freedom Day, whereby he calls that the country is going to get its all its rights back to the people. He is saying that the power is within the hands of the people. So the protests have been going on. They became so violent today as the police ran battles with the protesters in Maputo. They were firing tear gas almost everywhere in the capital of Maputo. There are a number of people who have been injured so far, but we don't have an official figure. Well, some of the scenes we watched this morning where people looting shops, they are saying that they are hungry, the economy is stuck, nothing is happening since the election. So they resorted to destroying shops and looting them. So police were fighting back using live bullets and tear gas.
In addition to the police cracking down on protesters, I understand the government has taken other steps to try to limit them. Can you explain what's been going on?
One of the measures that the government has done so far is that Venancio Mondlane, since he is not allowed space in traditional media, he had resorted to using social media like Facebook and YouTube to speak to his supporters. So what the government responded by blocking all the social networks like WhatsApp, Facebook, and Instagram. There is no communication at all.
Are more protests expected after today?
Right. Today is just the 7th day. But according to Mondlane himself, he has been saying right, that he has promised 25 days of terror. So he has not made an announcement as to what is going to be his next step. What we know, what he had promised, that was today was going to be the Freedom Day of Mozambique. But in his initial statements, he had promised 25 days of terror from the 19th of October, the day he officially started the protest in Mozambique. We don't know what is going to be his next step. Normally, he speaks to his supporters at night via YouTube. We are still waiting for what he's going to do. He has not been seen along the day.
That was journalist Charles Manguero in the Mozambican capital, Maputo. He was speaking with my colleague, Kate Pound Dawson. Residents say improving literacy in Belait County of Upper Nile State could address early and forced marriages in South Sudan. Some women and girls who join adult education program in Belait County say they are now equipped with adequate knowledge and life skills for their future. Mamer Abraham Quart reports for VOA from Upper Nile's Baliet County.
Baliet County residents say some vulnerable families are not able to send their children to schools because of poverty. 18-year-old Atong Thon Maten, who returned to Baliet in April, says she had very little chances of going to school while she was in a Sahara IDP camp in Malut. Now she says she is ready to continue with her studies after attending literacy and numeracy training in Baliet. Maten strongly urges girls not to get married before completing their studies.
We left during the conflict and settled in Sara. Mother and father died. I did not have money to pay my school fees. I have been seeing children at school, but I do not know how to write. I'm now in school and I have known alphabet and numbers and also how I can protect myself. If I join Standard 1, this will not be difficult. I urge girls to study and refrain from earlier marriage.
25-year-old Chan Mijak Lual says South Sudan's economic crisis has resulted in many cases of early and forced marriages in Baliet. He says parents should focus on educating girls who could be important assets to their communities in the future.
When the girl don't have a brother, so that can lead her to work at night to get relationships with some boys. So, and that will cause a early marriage. Even a post-marriage is there. When the father sees someone having a property, all you could do that I have to give my daughter to the richer man. But that's not good. I can tell my community to stop that. So by educating a young girl, they can benefit the family.
Nyanajith Mwiluagwar, another Baliet County resident, says the country's deteriorating economy does not favor women and girls.
What forces them is economic crisis. They do not get other things also. They think they should get married so that their husband will support them. But this is not good. It's better for them to first go to school. I urge them to study and have certificate. After that, they can get job. And then they will get married.
Chuang Kwal Chuang, Baliet County Youth Chairperson, says his office is creating awareness on early pregnancies among girls attending school.
We ask them why sometimes girls get pregnant before sitting for senior four. They told us that pregnancy comes unknowingly, so girls now get knowledge only that the training is not enough. These 2 years, I believe some girls will go to secondary, some will complete form four, and even some of them will go to university. They have known how they can protect themselves.
Chuang says educational training offered to young people in the county has contributed to peace building. For VOA News, I am Amir Abraham Kwad, reporting from Baliet, the capital of Upper Nile States, Baliet County.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday, November 7, 2024. We now leave you with Kennedy and the song Mungu Si.
Walolo, badi walele, badi lama ikadusia, miogo adusia, izi mungu nipoya, katedwe warungo niti otolu mungu si, miogo adusia.
We've been listening to Kennedy and the song Mungu Si. Kennedy is singing in Madi language, and the Madi are found in Eastern Equatoria State, where we have the Voice of Eastern Equatoria as an affiliate of Voice of America. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Bill Bass, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Is a
mizimu unikoya, eh, katatwe waru.